This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Some restrictions ease. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, April 9. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
New guidance from the CDC says some essential workers who were exposed to the coronavirus but not showing symptoms can return to work with conditions.
Dr. Anthony Fauci of the White House Coronavirus Task Force says to avoid spreading coronavirus and other diseases, Americans should never shake hands again.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the Democratic presidential primary race.
And a look at how religious traditions are being upended by pandemic restrictions.
April is one of the most religious of all the months. You have Passover, you have Easter, you have Ramadan's beginning. And so this is one of the holiest months.
Wall Street Journal reporter Claire Ansberry on how families are connecting this year for get-togethers during Passover and Easter. Well, cases of the new coronavirus in the U.S. now total more than 430,000, with a death toll now approaching 15,000. Americans also experienced their deadliest 24-hour period again, with 1,973 people losing their lives from Tuesday night to last night. Also, New York, New Jersey, Louisiana, and Illinois reported their highest daily death tolls from COVID-19. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
If the hospitalization rate keeps decreasing the way it is now, then the system should stabilize over these next couple of weeks.
New data show the pandemic is exacting an especially heavy toll in some regions on people of color. New York's racial data followed a report from Chicago that found black residents accounted for 71% of the city's coronavirus deaths, although they make up just 29% of the population. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now says some essential workers who have been exposed to COVID-19 but are not showing symptoms can return to work. At a White House briefing, Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the CDC, said it's an effort to avoid a shortage of critical workers like first responders, healthcare workers, food supply workers, and more.
They could go back to work if they do several things, as we say here. Take their temperature before they go to work, wear a face mask at all times, and practice social distancing when they're at work.
Employees still have been discouraged from congregating in break rooms, lunch rooms, or any large gathering spaces. Dr. Anthony Fauci of the White House Coronavirus Task Force.
We predicted over the weekend that this would really be a bad week, and it is. It's going to be a bad week for deaths.
Dr. Fauci also told the Wall Street Journal podcast that Americans should never shake hands again in order to prevent the spread of coronavirus and other diseases. You may be aware that President Trump unleashed a tirade against the World Health Organization on Tuesday, essentially accusing the group of being in the pocket of the Chinese, trying to cover up the widespread danger of the coronavirus outbreak. He indicated he wants to cut funding to the WHO. Taking up the lead is Congressman Guy Reschenthaler, who represents Southwest Pennsylvania. He's introduced legislation that demands a probe of the organization's role in the pandemic. Congressman, what's your plan?
Gordon, what I want to do is first and foremost make sure that the Director General, Dr. Tedros, resigns. He botched Corona. He was either grossly negligent or he worked hand in glove with the Chinese Communist Party to cover up this virus. And then secondly, I want us to freeze our funding, our voluntary funding of the World Health Organization, until they have a commission to investigate just how badly the World Health Organization botched the coronavirus.
By the way, who could conduct such an investigation?
It would be an international commission that would investigate what the World Health Organization did. And Gordon, it's fairly easy. We know that back in late December, the Taiwanese warned the World Health Organization that COVID-19 spread human to human. at that time, China was insistent that it did not spread human to human, and they refused to stop travel out of Wuhan. There was an independent study done by Southampton University that said, had China just acted responsibly, even just weeks earlier, and restricted travel, they could have reduced the deaths by 95%. And again, Taiwan knew this, yet China refused to listen. China also refused to allow American scientists and doctors in to Wuhan to help this. And because China covered this up, and because the World Health Organization either was negligent or they were complicit with this cover-up, thousands of people around the world lost their lives.
Why do you think it played out that way?
I think the Chinese wanted to hide this because they didn't want it to appear that they were weak. I think they were also afraid of being blamed for having a pandemic start in China. Mm. And we know they're sensitive because they're the ones that started the propaganda saying that it was the U.S. military that started this pandemic. So we know they went out of their way to deflect where this virus started, but the world knows this started in China. It started in Wuhan. China cannot have revisionary history, so they need to be held accountable for this, and the World Health Organization needs to be investigated for either negligence or corruption. It's one of the two. Either way, there's a lot of blame to go around with the World Health Organization.
All right. So the president said recently that he would like to withhold aid or freeze it or reduce it, whatever, to the World Health Organization. But so people know, he does not have that authority. That authority comes from Congress, which is where you come in.
It does. And what people also don't understand is we fund the World Health Organization through an assessed amount, which is about $100 million. But then the United States does a voluntary payment of over $400 million. Yes. We, the United States, because we're so generous, pay over $400 million just voluntarily above our assessed amount of about $100 million to the World Health Organization. That money could be used much more effectively if the United States uses it to help stop pandemics and not just give it to the World Health Organization that's going to parrot the Communist Chinese Party.
We're speaking with Guy Reschenthaler, congressman representing Southwest Pennsylvania. Speaking of money, change hats for just a moment and, I don't know, look days, weeks ahead about potential for a phase four coronavirus stimulus or aid package here.
I've got two thoughts on it. First, let's see how phase three is implemented. Let's not rush into a phase four. We're just getting out the small business loans. We're just getting out the direct payments to people. Let's let phase three work. Second, if we're taking a look at phase four, which we probably will, let's have what I would describe as a skinny phase four. And that would be something that doesn't have the excess of payments to NPR and the Kennedy Center, what have you. It doesn't have cap and trade and like a backdoor green deal. Let's focus on direct payments to individuals. Let's focus on helping small business. And let's focus getting relief to industries that are hurt the hardest by this virus.
Congressman Guy Reschenthaler from Southwest Pennsylvania. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
For the one standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus free access to specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. And then there was one. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the Democratic presidential race. That leaves former Vice President Joe Biden as the party's presumptive nominee for the 2020 election. It's quite the reversal in fortune. Mr. Sanders was the front runner after the first three nominating contests of the primary season before Mr. Biden's decisive victory in South Carolina vaulted him into a series of triumphs in early March and a nearly insurmountable delegate lead.
I wish I could give you better news, but I think you know the truth. And that is that we are now some 300 delegates behind Vice President Biden, and the path toward victory is virtually impossible.
Mr. Sanders, who's 78, ended his bid yesterday, saying the coronavirus pandemic was a critical factor in his decision because restrictions kept him from holding his signature massive rallies. In a statement, Mr. Biden praised the contributions of Mr. Sanders, the self-described Democratic socialist, naming issues like single-payer health care, eliminating student debt, and making public colleges free. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
In a first small step toward reopening activity, the Trump administration has issued new guidelines to make it easier for essential workers who have been exposed to COVID-19 to get back to work if they have no symptoms. CDC Director Robert Redfield says essential employees such as healthcare and food supply workers can return to work under certain circumstances.
What we'd ask them not to do while they're at work is we want them to stay at home if they're sick. We want them not to share objects that would be touching their face, and we would like them not to congregate in break rooms, lunch rooms, and crowded places.
Number two.
As the coronavirus tightens its grip across the country, it's cutting a devastating swath through an already vulnerable population, Black Americans. Leaders in cities hard hit by the pandemic have been sounding the alarm over what they see as a disturbing trend of the virus, killing African Americans at a higher rate. One analysis found 42% of the victims, whose demographic data were shared by local officials, were Black.
Number three.
The steep drop in air travel has passed a milestone. Fewer than 100,000 people went through airport checkpoints on Tuesday, the lowest number since the TSA started keeping track. That's down 95% from a year ago and could be the smallest number since the 50s. The Trump administration has quietly shut down the nation's asylum system for the first time in decades. The U.S. has used an obscure public health law to justify one of its most aggressive border enforcement tactics ever. People seeking refuge in the U.S. are whisked to the nearest border crossing and returned to Mexico without a chance to seek asylum. What are teens worried about these days? Well, of course, the pandemic and economy, but also the environment. A new survey from Piper Sandler finds that the sustainability-minded generation still puts the environment first among their top concerns. While Gen Z's total spending is down sharply, when they do go shopping, brands like Nike, Lululemon, and Amazon are top on the list. They also favor Chick-fil-A and Starbucks. While the guys are splurging on footwear, teen girls are spending less on handbags, cosmetics, and apparel. Under Armour, Ralph Lauren, and L Brands Victoria's Secret among the brands falling out of favor.
All right, marketers, pay attention. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for spending time with us. The coronavirus pandemic has thrown a wrench into a lot of plans this year, including traditional religious ones for Passover and Easter. Now families, who for generations have come together to perform traditions they learned as children, are grasping for ways to connect virtually, recreating long-held rituals since in-person visits aren't so easy or encouraged. More from Claire Ansberry, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Claire, what are you hearing?
April is one of the most religious of all the months. You have Passover, you have Easter, you have Ramadan's beginning, and so this is one of the holiest months, and people mark these months by getting together in their churches or in their homes, and with the shelter in place, they can't do that this year. So they're having to adjust. I mean, we've already seen the churches streaming services online, but when you get into the specific holidays, like Passover and the Seder meal, which is traditionally held in a home outside of the synagogue, there's no services to stream, and families can't get together like they used to, so they're having to come up with new ways to be together.
And these new ways include what? What have some of these families shared with you?
Well, one family who celebrates Easter, she plays the organ in her church, so they're going to have a small service at home. She's going to play the piano. She's got three little kids, seven and under, so the service is going to be short. She is going to buy them their Easter outfits like she always does, and she thinks they'll behave better dressed up. They'll take their family photos, so they're preserving that tradition. Another family who has been celebrating Seder for 70 years, gathering in California with people flying in from all over the country, is going to hold their service over Zoom. They, one one person's assigned creating a PowerPoint, which is going to have all the prayers and the order of the service. They're going to do things. This family has special place cards that an aunt who has since died created. And every person who came always had their little place cards sitting at their chair. Photos of those place cards are being emailed to everybody who's attending.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so it's they're coming up with different ways to do things.
We're speaking with Claire Ansberry, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is about families struggling to connect for Passover and Easter, even Ramadan this year, because of coronavirus restrictions. So you referenced Zoom. I presume other families are perhaps choosing Skype or FaceTime as a video conference the way to go?
They are. And this one particular family, I mean, they decided in March that this wasn't going to work. So one of the women who really leads the Seder, well, her husband leads the Seder, and, you know, they're just always very involved in putting it together. She created a virtual Seder to-do list, and she got her three adult kids and her husband and a fiance and assigned them all duties. And one of them was figuring out, you know, what is going to be the best platform. So they experimented with platforms, and for them, Zoom worked. But other families can do FaceTime, you know, whatever they have. But this is the one that works best for them.
Thanks, Claire. Claire Ansberry, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us and welcome into Thursday, April 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Some essential workers exposed to COVID-19 who have no symptoms can return to work if they follow certain guidelines. Latest jobless claims numbers being released today. Some stimulus checks could be delivered today. Bernie Sanders out of the presidential race. Rockets fired at a U.S. military base in Afghanistan. No injuries reported. Linda Tripp, who recorded conversations with White House intern Monica Lewinsky, has died at the age of 70. And how a soldier stole the internet with a kid's sing-along. That story in about 20 minutes. There are continued signs of optimism from Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards about efforts paying off to flatten the curve of the COVID-19 pandemic in that state. That said, issues remain. NOLA.com reports that a downtown New Orleans hotel where nearly 200 homeless people have been housed during the pandemic is failing to follow basic health protocols, including the use of masks and gloves and social distancing. The report also says the hotel is ill-equipped to deal with a rash of drug overdoses and other health emergencies. Let's get a more in-depth perspective on that region from Dave Cohen, news director and also host of First News on WWL Radio in New Orleans. Dave, catch us up to date.
Well, we are getting some good news and encouraging signs that maybe, just maybe, we're starting to see the peak level off here with fewer patients needing to be hospitalized on a daily basis and an actual drop in the number of patients on respirators reported. It has the governor of Louisiana saying that as long as people continue to follow social distancing, as long as they keep up the stay-at-home order, he feels good that we will not hit the feared doomsday predictions that we had heard of running out of ventilators and people dying because they wouldn't have access to them and hospitals overflowing with nowhere to put patients.
All right. I know he's also very much exercised a cautious tone. Do you get the sense that there's compliance, say, with social distancing?
You know, he has noted that in the big cities in New Orleans and the surrounding metro area and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and other places, that there is very good compliance. He's very concerned, though, about the rural areas of our state, where he says people are not taking it as seriously, and he's warned them they will take it seriously. Unfortunately, it may be when someone they love dies.
All right. So has New Orleans gone so far as, say, to threaten arrests for, you know, gatherings of 10 or more, things along those lines?
They've not only threatened it, they have done it on multiple occasions. The New Orleans police have placed people under arrest, most notably for a funeral second line, a kind of a jazz parade that we hold here in New Orleans traditionally for funerals as a sending off for someone. The mayor made it very clear those are not acceptable now. And there were still some who insisted on having scores or hundreds of people gather for a funeral second line. So an organizer of a second line was arrested along with a band leader who was playing at one of the second lines. And the police have reported now closing in on 1,000 complaint calls of groups of 10 or more that they've had to respond to break up the crowds. They say usually people are compliant and break up when they arrive, but when they don't, they will make arrests and issue citations.
Wow. We're speaking with Dave Cohen. He's the host of WWL's First News, also news director at that radio station in New Orleans, talking about what's happening there with coronavirus and the restrictions. How strange are things right now? I'm presuming to see many streets empty, like perhaps in the French Quarter, which most Americans are familiar with.
Yeah, we have gone around and posted pictures of the ghost town settings we're finding in places in New Orleans and across Louisiana, on the LSU campus, for example, on Bourbon Street, where normally there are huge crowds all the time. And we're a very social society in New Orleans with the celebration of Mardi Gras, what the nation sees. We similarly gather to have parties and celebrations all the time in this city and across this state. And to see that not happening now, and to see the empty streets and people nowhere out in public except for those essential businesses that are open, it's very eerie. It's very uncomfortable. People here are a hugging and embracing society, a dancing and a celebratory group of people. And it's been very hard on folks to not be able to do that. But the mayor and the governor are applauding those who are doing it because they say it's starting to pay dividends despite all the death and illness that we've seen over the last several weeks.
Does that spirit return, Dave, when, say, a sense of normalcy comes back?
You know, we were just talking about that after seeing how they celebrated with that light and laser show in Wuhan, China, when they finally lifted the lockdown there. How will we observe the lifting of the lockdown here? And I think people are very eager, based on their responses, to get out once again, to boil crawfish with one another and sing and dance and celebrate with one another. We have seen major festivals that normally attract hundreds of thousands or millions of people to New Orleans that have been canceled or postponed one after the other.
I mean, Dave, we need your leadership on that. I mean, if not New Orleans, then who?
Absolutely. No, I don't think it's going to take any leadership. I think that it will bubble up grassroots, no problem. I think once people realize we have gotten past the danger and they feel like it is safe to interact with one another, you will not have to encourage them one little bit. Bourbon Street will be full again. The festivals will return. The dancing, the singing, the hugging, the drinking, the eating, and everything else that New Orleans is so well known for will be there in abundance.
Nice, Dave. Dave Cohen, news director at WWL Radio in New Orleans. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Everything begins with an idea, but how do you bring it to life? If your idea requires graphic design, copywriting, web programming, or some other skill, how do you locate that help? For the talent you need at a price you can afford, the answer is Fiverr. Fiverr connects you to a network of trusted freelance talent that's worked on some of the most influential brands in the world. Fiverr talents offer hundreds of digital services that you can search by service, deadline, price, reviews, and more. With Fiverr, there are no unknowns. You'll know exactly what you're paying for upfront with no negotiation. And Fiverr's talents are proven to ensure you get the expertise you need to bring your idea to life. And when you give Fiverr a try now, you'll save. Check out Fiverr.com today and use my code Gordon
to receive 10% off your first order. It's so easy. Find all the digital services you need in one place at fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's fiverr.com and the code Gordon. Try Fiverr today. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, chalk up another world record falling due to quarantine boredom. An Idaho man teamed up with a friend during coronavirus lockdown to break the Guinness World Record for most tennis balls caught in a basket on his back in 1 minute. David Rush, who was last seen breaking the record last week for most time spinning a flaming stick in the air, teamed up with quarantine buddy Jonathan Hannon to take on another record. Hannon, while wearing a face mask, used both hands to throw a total of 108 tennis balls in the allotted minute, and Rush managed to catch 85 of them in a basket strapped to his back, breaking the previous record of 66. Shatter that record again. Yeah. Rush said the rules required him to remain at least 9 feet 9 inches away from Hannon during the attempt. Also, Guinness officials told him the rules requiring a certain number of witnesses were being relaxed amid the COVID-19 pandemic, provided ample video evidence was submitted.
Oh, Guinness is getting soft.
I know.
Come on.
I mean, this guy already is going to break, you know, half the record book by the time this is all said and done. You really need to be, you know, real strict with the rules, I think, as much as possible.
So 9 feet, 9 inches apart.
Yeah.
And he's tossing tennis balls into the backpack of another guy.
Right, right. So, like, basically standing across the room from each other, essentially, and, you know, using two hands, just throwing the balls up in the air, and Rush has kind of got the basket on his back, and he's moving back and forth. Yeah, he's moving back and forth to try and catch the balls as they're coming at
him. That's awkward. He's looking backwards.
No, he's looking forwards.
Oh.
But he's got, so that's the hard part, I guess, is that he's got to sort of estimate where, if it goes over his head, where it's going to fall into the basket.
Got it.
So, these aren't easy, Gordon. No. Not just anybody can do these. You got to have some skills here.
Completely have changed my thought about it. I thought the guy was facing backwards.
Right.
And anyway, very clever.
Yeah, we'll go next week. There'll be another one for us to talk about.
And it only takes a minute.
Right.
So it's great.
Exactly.
You can try it over and over again.
And here's another big sign of the new normal that we're all going to have to get used to. Face masks required, pants optional. That's at least the situation in the Czech Republic, where a group of sunbathing nudists were recently told they needed to cover up, just not in the way that most would expect. While they were completely free to remain nude, local ordinances required that they keep their mouths covered due to the global coronavirus outbreak. A police spokesperson confirmed that the people sunbathing in the area were violating not just the rules regarding the face masks, but also a rule prohibiting the gathering of large crowds. Authorities say the sunbathers did eventually put on face masks and no citations were issued. That hasn't gotten here yet.
Yeah.
But, we do know the importance of face masks is certainly ramping up.
After several observations by authorities, they didn't encourage people, perhaps, to cover up based on what they'd seen.
I don't know how long they lingered before, they issued their warnings.
I'm looking at the forecast for Prague, by the way.
Yeah.
In what world is, like, 66 degrees and mostly sunny sunbathing weather?
In Prague, perhaps, that is sunbathing weather. It's all relative, Gordon.
It's supposed to be 54 next week. Not exactly, I don't know. Inspiring to take your clothes off.
Quarantine does crazy things to people.
Right. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BY-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Instacart is being bombarded with an onslaught of orders during the stay-at-home era and is struggling to keep up. Yesterday, it announced plans to bolster its offerings and speed up the process after customers reported having a hard time finding delivery slots. But USA Today says there's something else happening, too. Instacart's Twitter feed is rife with complaints from customers accusing personal shoppers of stealing their groceries at a time when more people are out of jobs, behind on rent, and afraid to go out to shop for themselves. Instacart encourages customers to contact its customer service department on the website if there's an issue. In a statement, Instacart said that in the very rare instance that a customer does not receive their order, they can contact Instacart Care to have their order fully refunded or rescheduled. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
U.S. cases of the coronavirus grew to more than 430,000 Wednesday as the country recorded its deadliest day yet. There were 1,973 deaths from COVID-19 during the 24-hour period ended at 8 p.m. last night. New York, New Jersey, Louisiana, and Illinois reported their highest daily death tolls from COVID-19. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
Don't let the warm weather or the holidays fool us. We are in the fight of our lives, and we remain in the fight of our lives.
Number two.
The Strategic National Stockpile is nearly out of N95 respirators, surgical masks, face shields, gowns, and other medical supplies desperately needed to protect frontline medical workers treating coronavirus patients. The Department of Health and Human Services says the federal stockpile is in the process of deploying all remaining personal protective equipment in its inventory. About 90% of the personal protective equipment in the stockpile has been distributed to state and local governments.
Number three.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told House Democrats direct deposits to Americans will begin next week under the coronavirus aid package. Congress is debating the next potential aid package as President Trump seeks $250 billion for small businesses, and Democrats propose adding another $250 billion for small communities, protective gear, and food stamps. The stage is set for November. Barring something unforeseen, Joe Biden will represent the Democratic Party against President Trump this fall. The former vice president's place on the general election ballot cemented yesterday by Bernie Sanders' decision to end his campaign.
I will do everything that I can to make sure that Donald Trump is not reelected, because I believe Trump has been the most dangerous president in the modern history of this country.
Biden likely won't secure the number of delegates needed to officially clinch the nomination until June. Broadway theaters will remain dark through at least June 7th, but industry professionals say it might be weeks, if not months, after that date before shows can open. Shows closed on March 12th and were originally slated to reopen April 12th. Kobe Bryant is atop the bestseller list. The new book from Bryant's Granity Studios, The Wizenard Series Season 1, will be number one on the New York Times middle grade hardcover list that comes out April 19th. It already hit number one on Amazon's bestseller list for children's books.
Well, that confirms it. There's nothing he couldn't do well.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. One soldier singing Do Re Mi from The Sound of Music with a group of 18 kids ages 4 to 12 is bringing much needed joy amid the coronavirus pandemic. It's quite possibly the only video you'll need to see for weeks to inspire you. Sergeant First Class Michaela Shelton, a member of the U.S. Army Field Band, created a sing-along video to help young children cope with anxiety and stress brought on by the coronavirus pandemic.
A deer, a female deer.
Ray.
A drop of golden sun.
Ms. Shelton from Moorestown, New Jersey, was a high school music teacher before she joined the Army Field Band's Soldiers Chorus in 2014. The former music teacher is seen with a big smile as she leads the kids through the famous song. The Army Field Band, by the way, launched its We Stand Ready daily live broadcasts on March 20th as a way to meet the emotional needs of Americans. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.